is a special day in the life of this church. It's a day in which we get to celebrate the Lord bringing a new elder to serve at Hope Christian Church. That's Michael Bradford. Many of you have been praying for him, and you have been asking the Lord to make his will known over these months as we have been seeking and praying. So just today we will install Michael as an elder and grant and ask the Lord to grant a special blessing upon him and his servants here. It's neat to see how the Lord works and how he grows his church and how he moves and raises up people to be a blessing to the people that God brings together in little groups we call churches around the world. This has been the case from the very beginning. And so it grieves me sometimes when I hear people say, I'm against organized religion. And I always have to resist the temptation to say, so you prefer disorganized religion? But that's, of course, not what they mean. Usually what's behind that is somehow, some way, a minister or someone in the church has hurt them along the way, and so they've been wounded. And so we take very seriously bringing leaders into place. And the Lord's will is that he is an organized God. He has a plan for how he wants his church to run. And you know, church means people. In the Bible, every time you hear the word, you see the word church, it means people. Never in Scripture does it refer to a building. Always refers to people. So when you think church, don't think impersonal structure. Think people's hearts. Think lives. And so God has ordained that people be brought together and led by men who are called by him, organized together in order to serve each local church. So local churches are to have local elders who have oversight over how the church operates and works. And Paul gave us the model for this as he went about on his missionary journeys, establishing churches and planting churches. And he and Barnabas, we find in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, went about strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. That's part of what Michael's heartbeat is, to encourage people to continue in the faith. And saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So what did they do? Paul and Barnabas went around, and where there was a group of believers who rose up and began to follow Christ, they would appoint elders, plural, more than one, in every location. They appointed elders, men who were called by God and equipped by the Holy Spirit in order to serve. And so that has been our desire here. So our bylaws read that under the lordship of Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church, a board of elders shall have authority to organize and guide and direct all church activities. So this church is led by a group of elders, a group of men who have been called by God and equipped by the Holy Spirit. We recognize as leaders, we are not the leaders. We are under shepherds. We are ourselves as elders to be followers of Christ. We're to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. So in striving to lead, all elders want to be led by the Lord Jesus. This is his church. We are simply stewards entrusted to the care of you and of all the people who would come here. And that's our heart, is to make sure that we have enough elders to serve, that we can shepherd you in an adequate way and reach out and pray for you diligently, all of those things that are required of us. And in fact, the Bible states that elders are to shepherd God's church in the same way that fathers would shepherd their own families. Elders are to manage the church in the way fathers would manage their own homes. 1 Timothy 3, 4 to 5. He, the elder, must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? So the first place to look when you begin to seek an elder is home. You look at home and you say, is this a man who shepherds his own people? If he can't shepherd his own people, he can't shepherd God's people. Is this a father who is leading his own children to Christ? If he can't lead his own children to Christ, he can't lead the church of God to understand Christ in a fuller way. So how do elders serve at home? That's the first question. How's your home life? What are your children like? How do you manage your own children? So if a person cannot handle and manage his own home, he's not qualified to handle the church of God. Because we're to shepherd in that way. And in that way, to be an example. So those who are faithful fathers can be faithful elders. And as we look at Michael and ask the same questions, we see that if he continues to follow in the grace and stand in the grace that he is standing, he will be a faithful elder. Elders are also to shepherd the flock of God's people as a shepherd shepherds sheep. That's another example of the kind of role in leading that Peter uses to exhort the church. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." So the first question here is a person willing to serve? Do you even want to? An elder has to have his heart in this role of ministry. If it's not, it won't work. So that was the first question we asked Michael as we began seeking the Lord on this is, are you willing to serve? Do you desire to serve? Do you have the heart and yearning and calling to serve? Because you can't serve out of compulsion. You can't serve simply because, well, they asked me to, or there's nobody else to do it. That's not what an elder does. An elder serves because his heart has been called and shaped to do so. And Michael's answer was, "For years, I have wanted to live in such a way that when and if I was ever invited to this, I could say yes, and I would be ready. But yet, I will pray about this, and I will ask my wife, and we will pray together, and then let us get back to you." They prayed together, and he came back with a hearty yes. "I do want to serve. I do sense God's leading if we will continue in the process." And so we happily say that Michael is absolutely willing to serve. Another thing that, another quality that we look for in elders is the heart being in it. But also, an elder is to guard the doctrines of the church, the teaching of the Bible. Titus 1:9 says that an elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. An elder must have a firm grasp of God's word. An elder must be able to explain the teachings of the Bible, to pick out where error has happened, and to be able to correct and rebuke in those ways. You have had an opportunity as a church to listen to Michael teaching for the past, 3 months or so. You've been able to sit and listen to how he handles the word. You've been able to hear the ways in which he gives instruction, how he corrects, how he directs. That all was process, a part of the process that we wanted to, all of us to be able to see and affirm God's hand upon his life. And I can affirm that. I see a man who is able to speak and share and explain doctrine and in a way that is yet respectful and loving and full of compassion and patience, which we're called to do as we argue and contend for the faith, argue in the classical word, right? Classical meaning. So Michael is a person who loves God's word, and his passion for God's word, I hope, is commendable and also contagious for every one of you. So here are the qualities of an elder. I'll just read them because they should apply to every man in this room. An elder must be above reproach, must be the husband of one wife. In other words, a faithful, committed man. Obedient, and must have children who walk with the Lord. Hospitable. He must love what is good. He must be self-controlled. He must not be arrogant. He must not be a recent convert. He must not be quick-tempered or a drunkard. He must not be violent nor greedy, but he must be upright and holy and disciplined and well thought of by those outside the church. In other words, even your co-workers ought to say, he's a man of character. Even people who do not believe in the same God you believe should be able to say of an elder, he's a consistent person who is a man of integrity and faithfulness. All of these things we have sought the Lord on, and we see these qualities in Michael Bradford. And so we sense that the Lord has called us to this point. We have had days of several days, a couple, I think, two of prayer and fasting, which we have sought the Lord. We've asked you, do you affirm our sense of the calling of the Lord? And you have said yes, overwhelmingly. And so today, we will install Michael. Just one more principle from our bylaws I'd like to read. There shall be no minimum or maximum number of elders. However, the scripture always refers to elders in the plural. It's not good for one man to carry the load of responsibilities alone. Thus, this church shall always have a plurality of men serving on the board of elders at any one time. When we first began seeking the Lord about who might be stepping up into the role, this was in May of 2009. We began praying and asking the Lord, who would you bring? At the time, we were seven elders, and since that time, we have sent out two with the planting of Genesis. And so the Lord was already beginning to sense to move us to ask for whom might be the next person to step up into this role. And we sense that that might be Michael. So one of my hopes in even talking about all of this and explaining this and sharing, I have two desires. Number one, that every man in this room would yearn to embrace all of those qualities and characteristics that I just listed. What kind of church would it be if every man in the room could say, I qualify with all of that? What kind of heart for God could we as a church express and show to this community, to every person we meet, if every man was qualified in that way? So my second prayer is asking the Lord, would you even use this discussion today to call someone, to put a calling on someone's heart to say, I want to live like that so that one day, if I'm asked, I too might be able to serve. That's my heart and my prayer. So I'll read one more section from our bylaws. It is expected that the elders shall be discipling and encouraging the growth of the young men in the church by testing them and giving them responsibility, and shall be on alert for men who meet the qualifications of an elder within the church so that they may be encouraged to join the board of elders and share the responsibilities. In other words, we as elders are always looking for men who could serve in this role. Who knows what tomorrow will bring, right? We've had faithful elders who have served for many years, and yet we know that God raises up men, he sends some out, and we want to be a part of God using that process to bless many churches all around. And this is even more needful if the Lord would grant our seeking of him to one day, is the Lord calling us again to plant another church down the road in some years? So these things need to be on our minds. We need to be praying about all of these things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I will invite Michael to join me on the stage. Father, we as a church are happy that you have granted us men who are called and qualified, that you have allowed us to be a participant with you in establishing this church and this community as a faithful witness to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen and now reigning at your right hand. And Lord, I pray that that gospel message would continue to go forward until you come back. And may you raise up the faithful men who are needed from this day forward. As long as you would have us serve, may the elders of this church remain true to the biblical teaching, remain true to sound doctrine, be able to contend for the faith in ways that are pleasing, humble-hearted, broken-hearted for the lost, and yet has a passion for the truth of the gospel that saves souls by faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, grant that there will always be faithful men to lead this church. And we thank you for bringing Michael to us and ask your hands upon the rest of this service. And I pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Michael, I have several questions for you, if you wouldn't mind joining me here. Michael, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul?
Most definitely.
Do you accept the scriptures in the Old and New Testaments written down by men yet authored by the Holy Spirit to be fully trustworthy and supremely authoritative?
Yes.
Are you in full and complete agreement with the statement of faith, the bylaws, and the mission statement of this church? And insofar as it rightly accords with Scripture, will you be content to be governed by them?
Indeed.
Will you seek with all of your heart to fulfill the requirements of this office under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in submission to the Holy Scriptures, and while not trusting in your own wisdom, but trusting in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you willingly and eagerly embrace the responsibilities of the office of elder?
Yes.
Will you serve this church as a model of Christian maturity, working to equip the people of this church to fulfill their ministries while praying for them diligently?
Yes, as God is willing.
And will you strive in cooperation with the other elders to ensure that the Scripture is regularly and faithfully taught in accordance with sound doctrine?
Yes.
Will you love and cherish Hope Christian Church in the same way as you would your own family?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask the other elders to join me now, and we are going to pray for Michael. Rick and Jenny DiMuzio will also join us and offer some prayer. Michael, I'm going to ask you to kneel, as in submission to the Lord. Whoever of you want to pray first. We're going to anoint Michael with oil, not because there's any special properties in the oil, but because in Scripture, oil symbolizes the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, no elder can do anything. If we are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we will be destructive. And so we ask that the Lord's anointing would be upon Michael. Anoint your brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, today we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving. We thank you that you called Michael a long time ago out of the darkness and into the light. We thank you that you've called him to the role of eldership, and we pray a special blessing upon him and his ministry. We pray for wisdom and discernment in all matters, and we pray for an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that through him he may serve. We thank you for his love of you and the love of your word. In Jesus' name.
Holy Father, I thank you today for the privilege of being able to stand up here and watch this, Lord. Michael has a tremendous testimony, and we have been so blessed to serve alongside him for years and to watch him grow as a believer, Lord, and as a leader and as a servant, as a husband and a father and a friend. And I thank you that we have been able to experience that iron sharpening iron and walk through hard times and wonderful times and challenges and joys of ministry and just life. And I thank you for how you're working in him and have led him to this day. I thank you for his humility, for his openness to learning, for his eagerness to learn, Lord. And just really humbles us to see his passion for you and sharing you with others so readily, always looking for an opportunity to tell others what you have done for him and what you have done for them and how they can have a personal relationship with you. And that's just so inspiring. And I thank you for the many things that he and Chris have taught us over the years. And Lord, we pray protection for them, mm-hmm. for their entire family. We thank you for Nicholas and for Thomas and how they're growing into such fine young men who are following you and who love you, Lord. Thank you for Chris because she enters into this commitment mm-hmm. as well. And we pray for her and for her strength and her coming alongside her husband to be a helpmate and an encourager and to be very present in the ministry. And we thank you that their whole family is embarking on this journey and ask that you would give them an incredible joy and peace and sense of your leading in everything that they do.
Father, we bless you and we give glory to your name. Might you be the one who is glorified. Lord, we lift up Michael as a servant of Jesus, one who desires to make you known and to live for you. I pray that his witness among those who don't know you would be mighty and powerful to the Spirit of God, not to the works of men or the wisdom of men, but to the mighty hand of God. Might you demonstrate yourself in power through Michael. Use him in our midst to encourage us, to build us up, to rebuke us when we need it. I pray you might use him in all these respects, continually challenged by your word. I pray you might help him to depend on you day by day, that he might not depend on himself, mm-hmm. and that he might serve as an example for all of us, that we might see you in him and that you might be glorified.
Dear Lord, thank you for Michael's willingness to serve, but he needs your power, Lord, and he needs your perspective. Help him to be the shepherd you want him to be. Help him to have a heart for all these people here, to serve, to sense what's troubling to them and what's joyful to them. Help him to discern between right and wrong and truth and untruth, and to grow people here. We pray that you would really use Michael in your work here, that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ might shine through him.
Father, we thank you for Michael. We pray that your anointing and your presence would be upon him, would guide him and keep him, would bless him, and that the love of Christ would continually shine through him. May his faith be unshakable. May his knowledge of the word grow and abound. May his passion for those who are lost continue to be attractive. Draw people through him to you for your glory and for their good. And Lord, may you use him to continually be a constant and steady presence to his co-workers. Would you let them see a kind of stability of faith, a foundation of character in him that they wouldn't otherwise see. So represent well your name through Michael to the world. And Jesus, we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Amen. Michael, would you rise? You're now an elder of Hope Christian Church. So.
Thank you, brother.
All right, you guys can have a seat. I'm going to ask Chris and Tommy and Nicholas if you all would come. I want to just offer a prayer. It does affect the whole family, and so I just want to pray over the whole family here. Mm-hmm. Yep. Lord Jesus, thank you again for this family. I thank you for their friendship. I thank you for the friendship that my sons have with their sons. I pray for their marriage. Would you bless Mike and Chris? I know this was a decision that they both thought about together. And I thank you that you have confirmed your will through a united agreement. And Father, I ask that a special blessing and protection would be garnished over them and continually to surround them. Would you guard their home? Use their home as an outreach for the lost, a place of hospitality where those who have no hope can find some through Jesus. And I pray that you will shower your blessings on the Bradford home. And I ask all of this through the Lord Jesus, who does exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can even dream of. So let this service be a wonderful joy. And I pray that the responsibilities would continually be balanced and worked out as the years will go forward. So thank you for Chris. Thank you for Mike and Tommy and Nicholas. May your blessings rest upon them as only a father can bless his children, and they each are your children. So bless them with all your heart, Jesus. Amen. All right. At the end, we will ask you guys to come down front so that all of you can welcome them. But we'll have a song in just a moment. And then after the benediction, would you just come and step forward? And Nicholas, you'll if you can, come and join them too, so that everyone can welcome you. We thank you for joining us today. And as we welcome one elder, I just want to point you to your bulletins where Andy has decided that he would like to have a rest. And so you know all of the ministries that Andy has been involved in, and we have explained so in a letter. We just prayed blessings on Michael. It's just in my heart. I want to ask a blessing on Andy's sabbatical. So beginning in January and going through June, Andy will take a sabbatical of the responsibilities of eldership. He'll still be with us, and he'll still be around, and he'll still be engaged, but just want to pray a blessing upon Andy and his time of rest. So let's pray together. Father, there are many seasons in life, and we have sensed that Andy would take a season of seeking you in a more personal way by putting down some of the responsibilities of ministry for a small season, a short time. And I pray that you would refresh his heart. Speak to him about the things that he might seek you about. And I pray that the time would be truly life-giving. Let it not be draining. Let it not be distracted. But God, give him the freedom to seek you with all of his mind and soul and heart and time and energy and thoughts. Let this season prepare him for years more of increased productivity for the kingdom and increased fruitfulness. As spring comes after the winter, I pray that a new season of fruitfulness would come after this time of sabbatical. So let your blessings fall upon Andy. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.